Now in the case of United States against Carson. We'll wait till the rustling has quieted down.
I'm sure you shouldn't take this personally.
I don't. Obviously, they were interested in the previous case.
Maybe you should give them your briefs. Maybe they would.
Mr. Anderson.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the Court, I am Kent Anderson with the Federal Defender's Office of the Central District of Illinois, representing the appellant Casey Carson. In this case, Mr. Carson pled guilty to conspiracy to transport a child in interstate commerce with the intent to engage in illegal sexual activity and actually traveling in interstate commerce for that purpose. What happened was that he drove the mother from the Metro East area of Fairview Heights over to St. Louis, they agreed previously, of course, where they picked up her son from her son's guardian, went back to their apartment, and she had sex with her son while he watched and took pictures. Now, at sentencing, Mr. Carson was given a two-level enhancement under Section 2G2.1B5 of the guidelines because the court found that the minor was in his custody, care, supervisory control. It found that the fact the boy's mother was present and participated in the crime didn't make any difference.
So your theory seems to be that a child can only be in one person's custody, care, supervisory control at a time?
No, Your Honor, that is not the theory. It's just that there's no evidence that at the time of the abuse there was shared custody that she had given him any authority while she was present
Part of that was the watching of pornographic material, wasn't it? And when he was with the child, just the two of them?
That happened at a time in between the two acts of abuse, and as far as we know, it was adult pornography. So while not a good idea to do with the child, not illegal or
but there was cross testimony that sort of a method used in child abuse cases, which could lead the child then to participate.
The probation officer wrote in the pre-sentence report that some counselor said that. Was often the case, but the counselor didn't specifically say that that happened in this case, and it would seem unlikely since grooming is usually a preparation for abuse, and the abuse had already occurred before this viewing of the adult pornography.
But, I think the real question here is what kind of unit are we talking about of time, because you could almost always imagine a child with an abuser and somebody else, and maybe someone closes the door and the abuse happens, and for that 10 minutes or whatever it is, the child might not be there. But we normally wouldn't look at it that way. Mr. Carson and the child's mother jointly had him for these weekends or whatever they were, these couple of day periods of time. And I don't know why we should zero in on the 10 minutes or whatever it is, the very short period of time while he's standing there. He's still there, and the abuse is occurring.
Because there's no indication that the Sentencing Commission, while they weren't concerned about legal relationships, there's no indication that they wanted this enhancement to apply if somebody at some time in the past had a custodial relationship.
While
there was actually no abuse taking place, but then later, when they didn't have a custodial relationship, abused the child.
Well, I'm not sure I agree with you, because actually, when you say in the past, it makes it sound like 3 weeks ago as opposed to a minute ago. And the application note to 2G2.1 says B5 is intended to have broad application. So from that point of view, it seems to me if we're talking about minute one to minute two, we are instructed to take a broader look at custody.
Well, it certainly has broad application with respect to it doesn't have to be a parent, doesn't have to be somebody who has legal custody. All that matters is whether they had custody or supervisory control, not the legal relationship between the child and the defendant.
Does the record show who had... it was his apartment, wasn't it? Or the apartment that Russell and Carson shared where these things happened?
Yeah, it was their shared apartment, yes, Your Honor.
So he had a key to the apartment, and she had a key to the apartment, presumably.
Presumably, yes.
She moved in.
Correct. But as the government acknowledges, the enhancement is actually aimed at the abuse of trust and responsibility within the context of the custodial or supervisory relationship. And in this case, their abuse was outside of that context, which distinguishes it from all the cases which the government cites. Of course, there aren't too many cases on point, none of them with this exact enhancement, but a few with identically worded enhancements from other sections of the guidelines.
Well, you don't find too many as egregious as this, though, do you?
Thankfully, you're right, Your Honor. While the overall facts are bad and we're not arguing about all the other enhancements he got, that doesn't change the fact that he didn't have custody while the sexual abuse was occurring, and therefore the court should not have applied that enhancement, which would have reduced the guidelines from 360 to life, 324 to 405 months, which is still a very long sentence and surprisingly much longer than the co-defendant received for her participation. Thank you, Anderson.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Anderson. Ms. Garrison.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. I would like to focus on a few of the points made in the defendant's reply brief, and I'd like to highlight some aspects of the factual record, which I think make this issue a little clearer. The defendant, on page 7 of his reply brief, states that the government has made an assertion not supported in the record. In its brief and on appeal, the government maintains that the guardian of this child gave temporary custody of the victim to both the defendant and the defendant's mother. The defendant states in his reply brief that this is not supported in the record. I want to make it clear, Your Honors, that this is supported in the pre-sentence report, page 6, paragraphs 18 through 20. The interviews of the guardian were summarized and set forth in the pre-sentence report. The guardian indicated that prior to November of 2005, this mother only called her child every few weeks. After November 5, which, as the record bears out, is after the mother met the defendant, she began visiting her son with her new boyfriend, the defendant. In December of 2005, the mother contacted the guardian and inquired about the boy spending the night with her and the defendant at their shared apartment. The guardian goes on to say that the mother and the defendant came over on December 28th, picked up the boy so he could spend the night. She indicates that there was an occasion where she left the victim in the care of the mother and the boyfriend at his birthday party, which had been held at a restaurant. As to the second incident of sexual abuse, the guardian indicates that the mother had called her and asked about the victim spending the night with her and the defendant in mid-January. The guardian indicates that, again, it was the mother and the defendant who came over and picked the boy up. They brought him back the following evening. Clearly, what the aunt did was entrusted this boy to the child's mother and her boyfriend.
She'd been deprived of the custody of that child, had she not?
She had, Your Honor. She was nothing short of a total mess and had problems
with... But she approached the guardian almost, not equal, but the fact is that neither she nor the boyfriend had any right to custody of that child except as granted by the guardian.
That is correct. I mean, it has every appearance that the guardian was simply allowing these two to babysit the child for overnight visits. The second aspect of the factual record I would like to emphasize, on page 7 of his reply brief, the defendant indicates that the government had to show that the mother gave the defendant some form of joint control over the boy when she was present. Again, I think the pre-sentence report is helpful in that it summarizes in paragraph 23 the interview of the child in this case, which was videotaped at a child advocacy center. As the boy described the incident, his mother and the defendant undressed. The defendant told the boy to, quote, F up, close quote, his mother. He was told by his mother and the defendant to lay on top of the mother. I think it is clear from the victim's account that the mother is relinquishing some authority and control to the defendant, who is basically orchestrating a sideshow for his amusement, with the mother engaging in these acts with the child. The third thing I'd like to emphasize is, and Judge Kaney, you had referenced this, an indication from a sex offender counselor that showing child pornography to a child can be part of the grooming process. What had happened in this case, in the addendum to the pre-sentence report, as the probation officer is responding to this assertion that the enhancement should not apply, the probation officer took it upon herself to contact a sex offender counselor with 25 years of experience in her field. And that counselor told the probation officer that showing a child pornography is a common grooming technique. The probation officer set this forth in the addendum to her pre-sentence report. The defendant states on page 10 of his reply brief that the court did not adopt the counselor's statement as a reason to impose the enhancement in this case. I would submit, Your Honor, that this is not correct. The sealed addendum to the pre-sentence report bears Judge Murphy's signature. He has checked the box indicating that he has adopted the probation officer's findings and recommendations on this point. And I think what was going on when that child pornography was being shown was the grooming was just beginning. You will recall from the record that this defendant asked the mother if he could have anal sex with the boy. She refused. I think it's reasonable to construe showing the child the pornography, an attempt to, normalize in some way this conduct and take it further. And I think it really had only just begun. Fortunately, it only happened twice. It is an egregious case. Judge Murphy's sentencing findings are well supported by the record, and we ask that the sentence be affirmed.
I think that from where you were referring, it says based on this therapist's explanation, showing the minor pornography is considered relevant conduct of the offense of conviction as it occurred in preparation for the offense of conviction, and that's where Judge Murphy checked the box that he adopted.
Yes, Your Honor. If there are no further questions, thank you.
Anything further, Mr. Anderson?
Just briefly, Your Honor. One, it's important to point out that the mother didn't have any independent transportation. She apparently didn't have a car or whatever. She relied on Mr. Russell to drive back and forth to St. Louis, and then after he was back in Kuwait, needed a ride from the Ernst to get back and forth. She couldn't go on her own, so she needed somebody to chauffeur her. So we don't really...
Well, he was orchestrating this, wasn't he? I mean, wasn't that the whole
thing? It was
his
idea, but she certainly agreed to it. Now, whether she would have wanted to see her son without this... Probably because she wanted to see him afterwards. That's why she got the ride with from the Ernst. So once he got the idea of, or once she had the capability of seeing her son, she apparently wanted to do it with or without the sexual relationship. So we don't really know for sure that this is different than a couple of adults who are living together as roommates, one of whom is divorced and has a child, and the other one needs the ride to go pick up the child. The second roommate gives the ride, but that while the child's there for visitation, we don't necessarily assume that the non-parental roommate shares custody. Maybe they do, but we don't know.
But what do you do with these facts, such as Mr. Carson directing the child to engage in certain behavior and talking to them while they're apparently doing these things? Isn't that some enough control for, again, this liberally interpreted guideline that we have?
On its face, that would seem to be, if that was all there was, but the fact that he then said that he wanted to have anal sex with the boy and the mother said no, and he said, well, we don't know what he said, but it didn't happen, according to her wishes, shows that she was the one in control. And while she was apparently going along with some suggestions or whatever that he made, she had the control and custody over the child, not him. Thank you, Your Honors. Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much. The case is taken under advisement.